T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
The pitch, fly ball. Cubs win. The Cubs beat the Cardinals in Game 1 by a score of 3-1.
Chetwood coming back. Bouncing ball right side. This could do it. Picked up by Russell. Throws to Rizzo. Cubs win. The Cubs beat the Cardinals by a score of 9-4. Pitch to Carpenter. Ground ball right side. Pass to diving Rizzo, but taken by Baez, and he throws to Strope in time, and the ball game is over. A very unusual play for the final out run, but the Cubs have swept this three-game series.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Rich Campbell is going to join us at 10. We've got the midday midway, usually really good on Mondays because of all the stuff we can collect over the weekend. That comes your way at 10:40, and a giveaway today. We have a pair of tickets to see Dead and Company at Wrigley Field on June 14th. You have to be listening if you want to win. 312-644-6767 is our number at WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you go to listen to us live, because we're streaming at 670thescore.com. You want to text, you can do that, 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
All the money on the Dubs tonight.
That way you can stream The Score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page.
Trying to figure out who we give credit to here. We have our
the
entire Entercom engineering staff is on hand as we make our transition to our temporary studios while they demolish our old studios and rebuild new studios. Jay Zawoski is our executive producer. Rick Camp is on the board. And the executioner, Ray Diaz, is in the back doing what he does.
If you think about this, this kind of broadcast has been, what, 20 years in the making for you? Dan Bernstein does radio from a kitchen? Like, that's,
oh yeah,
this is, this
I didn't
is
really
you.
Quite
it's
think
like
they, of that
it's
in that
like
regard.
They built this and made today happen for Dan Bernstein, Score Hall of Famer, right here in the kitchen and everything.
Well, they said they disabled the stove and everything, so it's not like we can go, you know, fire up a grilled cheese or get Shane's cast iron pan out
Dan,
here and start making steaks.
They said they disabled the stove. Do you think they actually did it?
Do you think they actually got around
I'm
to it on the list?
I'm just saying, we better fire this thing up. They had so much other stuff to do. Look at the operation that had to go into this to make our brand new studios. I bet the gas is still on. I think we can make ourselves a grilled cheese by the time we get out of here.
I'm down for checking it out.
All right.
I really am. So the Cubs taking this on the road, sustaining this on the road, is really going to be the question. But, man, it's sure fun here. That was a signature moment yesterday.
Felt good.
The Baez tag of Ozuna. That's one. If you didn't see that play in its entirety, where there's a throw down to second. And remind me, was it a strike him out, throw him out? Because it was a snap back throw. They caught him, and I don't remember strike him out, throw him out. But the critical aspect of that play, on which Javier Baez receives a throw from Wilson Contreras. Baez tags the sliding Ozuna without looking at him.
Yeah.
While looking at Contreras the whole time.
That's correct.
And pointing at him like, nice throw. Doesn't even give Ozuna the professional courtesy of looking at him as he tags him out. So then you get Contreras pantomiming the snapping of a photo. As if, I see you. That's a highlight. And Hendricks, not seeing what Contreras is doing, Hendricks has turned around to watch the play unfold in front of him, and in a way completely belying his stoic demeanor,
yeah,
reacts like, ooh,
Hendricks gave the same look to Contreras that you see in the meme. It's the guy in the middle with the girlfriend he's holding hands with, and then the girl that's behind him, and he gave the, ooh, what's up? It's like the second time this season that you've actually seen emotion, real, true emotion from Kyle Hendricks. He almost cracked a smile at the end of his Maddux, you know, his 81-pitch effort against the Cardinals a little while ago. And this one, it was actual emotion.
Right.
About his teammates, which makes all the sense in the world, really, when you think about it, that Hendricks' emotion would actually come from something his teammates have done and not something he'd done. That's just kind of how he's wired and built for baseball. It's strange. It's crazy, and it was a ton of fun.
And if I saw it correctly, also, they played the Bruins scoring on the video board while the Cubs were playing against St. Louis.
There was a little bit of a troll job, yeah.
Oh, a little?
There was a little bit of a troll job there. That was a... And, you know, check me if I'm wrong here, but as much fun as it was, you know, to watch them go 1-6 and then 6-1 in subsequent weeks of play and kind of flip the script on having been swept by the Cardinals and then sweeping the Cardinals, it felt something about the weekend's games felt different. You know, you got down to the final couple outs. We got the update coming. I'll explain what I mean. There's something about these three games, and it was outside of the Cubs-Cardinals rivalry. It was outside of the actual performance on the field, whether it's Cargo taking it deep into the bat, just deep enough into the basket, or some of the performances. Something about this team felt different, and I think I figured out what it was.
I noticed something Friday.
Late last night.
I definitely noticed something Friday, and it's clear what it was.
Love his stance right now, man. I love what he's doing in the box. I think it looks great. That's it. That's why he's punishing the baseball. He's made some beautiful adjustments. And it's as good as I've seen him, ever. I think I've seen him really good when he first came up, or even in the World Series. It was outstanding. But this, if we could put this in a little bit of a time capsule, heads up.
We're always waiting for it with Kyle Schwarber, aren't we?
Part of the reason they look a little different and these three games felt different, over his last 22, Kyle Schwarber is hitting .271. He's on base at .363. And Danny's slugging .588. It's an OPS of .951. He has been a leadoff hitter for this team for more at-bats than any other spot in the lineup is Kyle Schwarber, and he's helped make that feel a little different. But I got to tell you, what made it – we're going to talk about both Kyles, Hendricks and Schwarber, here as well, because they've been linchpins in the last week or so, the 6-1 run. But to me, it felt different. You tell me if I'm wrong. You tell me if you felt otherwise. It felt different watching the last four or five outs each of those days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday – just knowing that Craig Kimbrell is coming at some point didn't even have to be imminent. It wasn't an itchy feeling. You know, CJ Edwards, Carl Edwards Jr. walks those two and has to get relieved, and Strope comes in and locks things down with Javi making that ridiculous play in the shift. It wasn't even an itchiness or an apprehension watching the bullpen come in and be a little shaky like bullpens can be. It was just kind of knowing that regardless of that particular performance, it's going to look different, vastly different in 10 days to 15 days to 20, you know, however long it takes for him to get there. And I don't even have much of an apprehension about how long it takes for him to get there. I know he's on his way. It's, I didn't expect to feel that particular way, even knowing that they were signing the guy Friday when we were doing our show from the bleachers.
Yeah, it just having him.
Yes.
Having the idea of Craig Kimbrell.
Because that way you've got him.
Changed the complexion of it. Right. He's taking him from you. No one else can sign him now.
No, you have him.
And there was a moment where they cut to the tape of his bullpen.
That's right.
With the way overblown audio.
Well, that, I mean, it's
sounded
like
cannon fire.
Yeah. Kimbrell's throwing 101 in the pen. I think you could, I think you're probably right. You could slot him in earlier than expected. You take your time with him, and he gets there when he gets there. But I really didn't expect, you know, going through the 2 days of, you know, Kimbrell's going to sign with the Cubs and knowing that that was going to be the case, I really didn't expect that to feel as different as it did, especially in a rivalry series, mm-hmm. in a division series, in a situation where you just got swept by this team. That wasn't top of mind for me. It was the expectation and the a little bit of apprehension, I guess, for Craig Kimbrell coming to this ball club whenever he gets there.
The building of a bullpen from the back is something you feel during a game, and it influences the way you watch every out.
No doubt.
It influences everything, and that's how we talk about it, because that's how Joe thinks about it.
Right. I would rather build it a different way. I would rather have a bullpen built. It's just my own. It can work both ways. I'm saying one's better than the other. I just find it more interesting and a little bit more versatile to have a bullpen work more like the way Tito Francona worked the bullpen in the World Series in 2016. Having Andrew Miller just kind of looming and not ever really knowing when this Kraken was going to emerge and take down everybody. I like that sense of impending doom from a bullpen. I like that. I'm not a big Josh Hader fan. He's a hell of a pitcher. And knowing that he can come out of the bullpen whenever to destroy your little scoring chance, I like that kind of sense. I get building it from the back to the front. I get having the capital C closer. I'm interested in seeing if and when, and it seems like it'll be a while, what with Craig Kimbrel being signed to multiple years, that the Cubs are invested in a bullpen like that.
This segment's brought to you by Gerber Collision and Glass. When that hailstorm hit but your car was outside, that's when you get it to Gerber. Whenever it hails, you can always get it to Gerber for a free hail estimate. Visit GerberCollision.com or call 877-7-GERBER to find a Gerber location. The texter from the 312 says, the Cubs are playing like their parents already put the new bike under the Christmas tree 2 weeks early, and now they just have to count down the days to ride it. And this is the most score text line text of all time. 6 minutes into the show, no Sox talk, pathetic. I'll be back at 12 when Lawrence is on.
Yeah, Lawrence is noted for changing topics every 90 seconds. Are you kidding me? The man is a radio professional. That's not what he does. He's one of the best in the business. He doesn't change subjects every 90 seconds. Easy, buddy.
Literally 6 minutes into the show. No Sox talk, pathetic.
Pull back on the reins. Speaking of, you know what, if you want to talk Sox, you can. Aloy Jimenez hit the living hell out of a baseball in Kansas City.
It's not just that. They did it against Sparkberger, whatever that idiot's name is. And Yost got kicked out. I love watching the Royals fail.
It's my favorite.
It's as much watching the White Sox win as it is watching the Royals lose. They're separately and equally entertaining things.
I need so badly to take 2 out of 3 from the Royals every time. I want that to happen. I don't think I have a more despised team in baseball right now than the Kansas City Royals, and the fact that the Sox beat the hell out of them for 2 days out of 3 just kind of solidifies the weekend.
Can you see what Madden was talking about in Schwarber's stance when he said he liked his stance? Do you notice?
No, I don't. Because Schwarber he's moved himself around a number of times. He's gone to the old high school batting stance to start the season. Remember, that was the whole conversation we had, and you were worried about it a little, and I get it. We've seen over the last 22 games his performance. If I told you that Kyle Schwarber has hit more in the leadoff spot this season than any other spot, does that strike you as surprising, or is that kind of like a nod along? Yeah, okay, that makes sense, kind of sort of, because it's 106 plate appearances out of a leadoff spot for Kyle Schwarber this year. That's double any other spot for him. His performance, by the way, there, not that it matters all that much. But for those who yell and scream about the lineups, and I'm not telling you that this is a reason to keep him there or not. Just observe what's happened. He's hit 260. He's slashed 350, and he's on base 350, and his slug is 562. That's a pretty representative Kyle Schwarber thing. And he talked some about this is after the game yesterday. He talked some about how his failures in the leadoff spot in seasons prior have kind of affected his performance, or at least mindset, hitting leadoff now.
There's a little bit different circumstances, but just a little bit of more experience there, and just kind of taking away the leadoff hitter, name or role, whatever it is, and just go out there and take my at-bats.
When you've got a guy like Schwarber who, at his best, is taking his walks, being very dangerous, hitting, maybe like 250, 255, something like that. I mean, I just in
I'm
terms
not
of contact
about that
rate,
number at all.
Not that average really matters. I just mean it to reference contact rate. You want to be taking your walks. Kyle Schwarber is a dude that takes his walks regardless of leadoff hitter mentality. And I think, you know, if that got screwed into his brain and twisted him around backward the last time he was in the leadoff spot, then, you know, that's kind of the mental side of things that front offices are trying to find out about more and more these days. He can be him and an effective leadoff hitter at the same time. He doesn't have to slap his way around the bags to like a 290 average. That's not who he is. And I think what we found out here over the course of his major league career so far is who he is a fairly streaky guy who can take his walks, usually even when he's struggling to hit the baseball. And when he does connect for, you know, stretches like he's been since the middle of May to now, slugs somewhere around the 600 mark. And that's a nice little player. It's not Babe effing Ruth, and that's okay.
Yeah, we'll get in just a bit to these reasonable expectations for him, for what he was supposed to be, what he was when he first arrived in the big leagues, and the dreams of glory. But the biggest reason why a leadoff hitter matters isn't necessarily because of the old-fashioned belief of he's a little slappy fast guy that gets on base a lot. It's just how many extra plate appearances he's going to have. That's it. I mean, when you put a guy in leadoff, what you're doing is making him matter more.
Yep.
And he is what he is. He should hit how he's going to hit, but you're choosing to increase the number of times that person comes to bat. That's really the calculus, because you only lead off once. And one thing he does, and I don't have the pitches per at bat scene in front of me. He sees a lot, just based on my
eye test,
because he walks as much as he does. He as selective as he is. That's half the job, is in that first at bat of a game, getting into a deep count and allowing guys to see what somebody has.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The Cubs had some fun this weekend sweeping the Cardinals. There is a road trip on. Not only are the opponents fun ones to watch, but if you haven't seen, we'll retweet them when we come back, some of the photos from the Cubs' planned road trip.
Oh, my God.
There is a whole lot of swagger and a little bit of an inside troll job from one friend to the next. We'll let you know what we're talking about. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Nothing better than winning, you know. I know sometimes we get focused on personal numbers and stuff, but you know, at the end of the day, it's all about that W, you know, and whenever you get W's, that's gonna take care of the rest. So you know, this is a special group, like I said, and you know, we go out there and we always playing hard and trying to get wins, so it's very special.
That's Carlos Gonzalez of the Cubs. He had a basket home run for his first round tripper in the blue hat. And he's been part of this good vibe, good home vibe, man. But you got to take it on the road. You got to sustain it. And they took it on the road in style.
Joe is leaning on Cargo, and they have leaned into this road trip, too. It's the John Lester-themed road trip. You'll remember that last season, right? It was last season, like right in the middle of that. Was it the makeup trip to Washington?
Is it the Pedro Strop trip?
Yeah, it was the Pedro Strop trip. Everybody dresses like Pedro Strop, which just means dress like a badass and then drive yourself to a ball game. It was pretty cool. But this was the John Lester theme road trip. And if you've missed, I'll retweet a couple of photos. Cubs had it on Twitter as well. But the Pedro Strop John Lester costume is so full of swag, it's impossible to look at.
But then it's not a good John Lester costume.
Also true. Right. But it's Pedro putting his turn on that. A lot of checkered jackets. It looks like a Brockmeyer sketch, really, but with a cowboy hat instead. It's a good look. But one Cubs player decided to not opt for the, you know, the big belt buckle and the boots and the coat and the hat and everything. Anthony Rizzo wore America swim trunks, right, with the blue and star field at the top and the stripes on the legs, and some shades and a t-shirt, and grabbed himself a bag of fried chicken and a sixer on the way out. That's right. He trolled his current teammate with the old story of the fried chicken and beer thing from the Red Sox turmoil back in the day.
Uh-huh.
You got to be... You got to be a real comfortable clubhouse to make that kind of inside dig. Loved it.
I learned some things yesterday when I was scrolling through and I saw Carl Edwards Jr. in a cowboy hat doing sort of a gyrating dance. And a kid walks by and he goes, "Oh, that's Lil Nas X, Old Town Road."
Oh, yeah. You haven't heard Old Town Road?
I probably have.
Of course you've
heard. I didn't know the dance to it, or the whole thing. So I said, oh, okay. I thought I was going to give Carl Edwards credit for sort of making that whole bit up. And he's like, no, that's Lil Nas X.
That's Old Town Road. Old Town Road, the debate on whether that is a country song or not reminds me a lot of
it's a hot dog a sandwich.
We're just doing this again for no damn reason. And people ask, like, oh, is it a country song? I don't care. I just don't care. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. The answer to the question just doesn't matter to me.
The 708 texture, your disdain for the Royals is the same for me with the Cubs. Can't wait for Javi to miss a play with his no-look cockiness, and it cost them the playoffs. Hopefully they go 1-6 on the road trip. Why?
The guy why hates fun, yeah, I guess.
Right.
I don't know.
Why are you against fun?
If that's a Sox fan who hates the Cubs for Javi's swagger, but also loves the Sox for Tim Anderson's anything,
yeah,
then you got some problems,
I was
buddy.
Say, you're in a trick bag intellectually.
That is called, oof, boy.
You're in a very difficult position if you're a White Sox fan currently against fun. And it's not just what you are now, but what you are going to be,
man.
If everything heads in the right direction and the good for the Sox stays good. If you haven't been watching Yoan Moncada lately,
dude.
I told you before the season, if you were selling Moncada stock, I was buying.
How'd you do in that transaction? Were you able to gobble up a bunch of Moncada stock?
I've been very bullish.
Are your fantasy teams stocked with Moncadas?
And I do think that there is a lesson in Moncada to be taken by Kyle Schwarber.
Amen.
In some respects. And it is this idea of selectivity being prized, but you can also be aggressive when the time comes. And you don't have to outsmart every situation when you can hit a ball 500 feet.
I think, too, you know, thinking about Moncada and Schwarber both, there's a conversation we had around this line that you heard from Theo when things weren't going well and prospects were just coming up and Chris Bryant was in AAA for no damn reason, all that stuff. And
oh, no, he was there for a very good reason.
Oh, yeah, no baseball reason. I apologize. But then you heard the same kind of conversation from both Kenny Williams and from Rick Hahn. Believe me, I was there. I heard it. Prospect development is not linear. And somewhere along the line, I'm as guilty of this as anybody, kind of forgot that while they said the word prospect development, it was kind of us saying prospect development isn't linear. What they were saying is development isn't linear. And especially, I think, in this brand of baseball, where it is so, you know, three true outcome, high risk, high reward kind of players, strikeouts themselves mitigate ceilings in a lot of cases. There just aren't a whole lot of guys that can slug the baseball to death to outweigh as many strikeouts as happen in this game. That's just the way we play baseball now, better or worse. So it's better to keep in mind this idea that development isn't linear, because although you might be looking at, if you're a Cub fan, you're looking at Schwarber and saying, wow, but he's 26 already. He should be here, here, and here. Or maybe you're a Sox fan looking at Moncada last year going, wow, but he had time with the Boston Red Sox and that should matter and he should be further ahead. No, it's not that anymore in baseball. And you can point to players who have made strides in almost linear fashion, but for each one of those, there's a Juan Soto who showed up at 19 for the Nationals, destroyed the National League, and now has had his issues of falling, you know, two steps back to go one forward.
Kyle Schwarber's June has seen him bat 367 on base 441, slugging 667. It is a weighted runs created plus of 190, and WRC plus means that it's 100 is average,
yeah,
and every point above is what percentage you are better at producing runs than the average player in your league at that time. For the year, he's at an 808 OPS, which is fine, and his weighted runs created plus is 109. So he's 9% better at offense than the average baseball player. I would like to see Kyle Schwarber, if he's just going to be the guy that he is, and you tell me that every year he's going to be a 125 weighted runs created plus.
Oh, yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
right, he's a quarter better than average at offense. I think that's okay when we sort of boil down everything else that he does.
I think if the Cubs hit their guess correctly, you know, not so much the Babe effing Ruth comments, which were in the heat of passion. I get that, but if they hit their guess correctly, he's a guy who over a couple of years probably averages that 125 with one season or maybe two of gargantuan performance and a whole load of home runs, and maybe he, you know, somebody, you know, gooses him a couple over the middle because of where he's hitting. Maybe that protection does matter. I'm not a huge believer, but that's the kind of hitter I think Schwarber figures to be, and that's kind of being borne out this season. It's, you know, it's nice to get this guy, you know, performing like this as Bodie is coming a little bit, not much, but a little bit off his heater. You know, and, you know, steady performances don't always happen throughout a lineup, so it's nice to have these buoying forces around the core four.
You brought up Old Town Road. Is it a country song?
Oh, God, I don't care.
Here they come. The 847 says, country music's now just pop music. It's not what old school country music used to be. And the 630 says, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't. It's
a terrible song.
It is.
All right. Rich Campbell is going to tell us all about a very interesting weekend, a more meaningful weekend for a lot of people than everybody expected it would be. The Bears 100. We'll get his takeaways from that coming up next. Keep it here. Bernstein and McKnight talking Bears next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.